brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Hey man, got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Welcome to the Smokes episode, folks, where everything life is good is worth discussing. I'd like to introduce our host, and we have a new host with us today. We got good old boy Mike with us.
I'm here again.
I think it sucks.
We got good old boy Justin.
Good morning.
We got good old boy Nate.
Why, hello there.
And then we got a new member, good old boy Benjamin.
Thanks for the applause. Long time listener, first time caller, guys. Thanks
for having me. Yeah, so tell me about your life. Yeah.
We don't have that kind of time.
That's right. Well, as you know, we're the best thing on at 2 a.m. right before Small Spaces, host of Andre the Giant. And just after those infomercials of stuff that never works. Infomercials. It's a hard word to say sometimes.
As you know, we interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
That's right. As you know, I hope you know, our smoke segments are all about cigars and, well, anything that's smoked. Sometimes. For today's segment, drum roll, please.
Yep. I don't have a drum roll.
We are talking about...
There's no drum roll on my board.
We are going to be discussing the PCA, which was an event in Vegas... The five, not four, but the five of us went to. It stands for Premier Cigar Associations, and it is basically our trade show in our Mecca, and it happens once a year. So what I got here is PCA is a once-a-year event where most cigar manufacturers and gypsy brands post up, and we get to preview new products and special releases. Sadly, though, this event was for industry people only, and that was actually not a bad thing, I think. We had a great time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm used to it. We had a great time talking to brands and trying cigars for 4 days in Vegas with shop members, PCA members, manufacturers. It was very informative and all around a great time was had by all. So strap in and hang on tight. We have a lot to go over today in this extended episode. But don't worry, if you miss anything, you can download the full episode from where?
Anywhere online. Just say play podcast, Sip, Suds, and Smokes in any phone, and we're right there.
Boom. Now, just before we dive into the shallow end of the pool, remember, if you're a cigar newbie, fret not. We got you covered on our Cigar 101 episode, where all of this cigar speak will be decoded. Just search Sip, Suds, and Smokes Cigar 101, and that episode should pop right up and follow the link in our show notes. So
this
today...
is a complete waste of talk.
Yeah, it was. You know. So today, well, good not, old boy Benjamin.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a great episode, actually. Good old boy Benjamin is going to get the honors of reading our smokes ratings today.
Oh, I feel so fortunate and blessed.
You feeling lucky?
Well, do you, punk?
Uh-oh.
We'll be smoking and discussing these cigars and rating them with the Sip, Suds, and Smokes rating. And they're a scale of 1 through 3, so... Rating number one is, this sucked even before it was lit. If it gets a 2, I would smoke this again.
There you go.
Not bad.
And the coup de grace, the rating number 3. Where are they? I need a box.
Well, there you go.
I could not have carried a box home of anything. My suitcase, all of our suitcases were so stuffed. We actually bought luggage to bring cigars back.
We couldn't
bring
another Christmas in July. I couldn't have snuck a fart back.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. So let's dive in. Today's episode is going to go a bit differently. I tasked all who went with us to PCA trade show to pick 4 cigars that they smoked and or stood out the most to them. And away we go.
All right.
Good old boy Nate, you're up first. Take it away.
All right. So my 4, first off, just kind of
glancing over Freud Cigars, their Sigmund. It's a limited edition. This is the former master blender of Davidoff. This whole blend is undisclosed, but it was an incredible treat. It was expensive, but it is the whole 7 inches was perfect.
I had one somewhere, couldn't find it.
Yeah. And then next, I also really enjoyed Plasencia's 151. Now, Plasencia's had their whole cosecha line that usually features tobacco from Honduras and Nicaragua together. The 151 is actually now a Honduran Puro. It's the brand new one that's coming out. I really loved it. It did not taste like all Honduran to me. It was like had very deep complexity, very deep richness to it.
Now, is that the one in the green octagon box?
No.
So which one was that?
This one, they had a black and yellow band on it for this year, but it's going to be black and gold because they're all that whole series has like metallic looking parts of the band.
Sure.
Yeah, so it was the black and gold one. So yeah, that was incredible. But I really want to talk in depth about the Cavalier Domaine Rouge.
Well, let's. What did you rate your Sigmund Freud and your Plasencia?
Yes.
And I had both of those as well.
You did? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So,
yeah, what did you think of the Freud?
So the Freud to me was a 3. And if I had money, I mean, I sat back and enjoyed the whole thing. It is a $42 retail smoke, but I loved every minute of it.
Well, and I think that price point was the thing that kept on creeping in my head, you know, that they were like, oh, this is a $40 cigar. So it's amazing. You know, and they had a lot of their rollers, you know, right there at their booth playing dominoes. And it was really, you know, it was a very cool, you know, presentation. But I don't know. I think that there was just something that went off in my head when he said, this is a $40 cigar.
Yeah, no, and I totally
And I was
that.
Like, I don't know about this.
I remember watching you smoke it in the Rocky Patel booth when we were sitting there. Uh-huh. And I swear he pulled a monocle out of his jacket.
It's a big cigar.
And asked me about my mother.
Yeah. I will say that the thing for me that was different about it was I'm so used to that typical Davidoff flavor. And so I expected something to come of the same from their former master blender. And it was just completely different than anything Davidoff's ever
that
done.
That Davidoff's got that kind of like oaky, dusty, been sitting on a shelf for 10 years kind of taste to them.
So I smoked that Freud the other day. I've got $42 for that cigar all day long. It was big, oily. Like
wow,
this was.
I feel left out.
This was a smooth sip.
Yeah.
Of delicious smoke, 100%. I would definitely concur on the 3 there.
Mm. I think the Freud had a tough draw, but it was packed with a lot of flavor.
Can you do push-ups for your lungs, Justin?
Well, you know,
I need a stronger mouth.
I'm going to say
what she said.
I really think this was a $20 stick that was stuck in a $40 bag is what I thought at the end of the day. And I think that it was, I almost wanted him to leave the whole discussion of the price point out of it so that I could just let the cigar stand of its own and not let that value proposition kind of creep in, you know, to a lot of the, you know, preordained element of how good is a $42, you know, cigar going to be. So I think that's where I wound up going. I'm sorry, but I've had, you know, $15 sticks, you know, $10 sticks that I thought were twice as good, you know, as the Freud. So listen, I would say that it falls in that category. If you want to buy something special, it's a great gift cigar. You know, they're all Churchill, you know, size. I don't think they even offered them in anything
else. No, it's one size.
Yeah. So buy them for gifts. They're great, you know, bachelor party gifts or wedding gifts.
For your lawyers.
Yep, absolutely.
I guess I was going to say.
I'll take half.
I was going to say.
I'll take a third.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. For our, I guess I can't use that in our like $40 nut blind. Y'all know, we'll know exactly what that is when you see it.
That's if we have a $40 blind.
Oh, come on.
Well, I guess I'm gonna summarize our smokes rating then. It's gonna be,
yeah, we'll go with a 3 on that.
It's gonna be a 3, even though.
Good job, Freud.
Yep. I've said my piece, what I have about
it. So, your Plasencia, what was your rating on that?
So, that for me would be a 2.
Wow. Really? So, I smoked this as well. Yeah, and this was absolutely my favorite cigar out of all the cigars that I smoked, including the ones I picked. I thought this was really great. And on the other Plasencia you know, that we had earlier on a different episode, I did not like their filler in that particular cigar, but I loved this. In fact, it had my highest rating, very high quality, nice burn line, feels great in the hand. It's very complex flavor, leather, wood, roast. I thought it actually paired very well with the cocktail that I've been making a lot of lately, which is the
I
last
bet there's
word.
Gin in it.
It's the, it is, it's the Kettle One Botanicals. It's the Kettle One Botanicals and Tonic.
Kettle One Grapefruit. Come on.
And Rose.
I will say the only 151 I smoked was during one of the seminars that I think you guys had just came into. But so I will say that it wasn't in a moment like at home where I could have a cocktail. And I loved it. I just think it wasn't fully there yet for me.
Hmm. Well,
I think that's one of the only cigars that I didn't actually get to smoke at the show.
Yeah,
was the 151. But I'm a Plasencia fan. That 146 and the 149 are something that are kind of go tos for me. Anytime I'm in a humidor, kind of looking around, can't make up my mind. Those are definitely things.
I like their white label, the little Perfecto Torpedo.
Yeah,
that little guy's great.
The original.
Yeah.
Plasencia did a very good job with this one. It has had a lot of flavor. It never went out on me.
I guess we're going to have to give it a 2 because
that's all right.
Sounds good to
me. Next time, make us some cocktails. We'll bring that cigar and then we'll make
maybe the cocktail elevated the cigar. I mean, that definitely could have happened. So
it's possible.
What else you got there, Nate, real quick?
So I really want to talk most about the Cavalier Inner Circle Domaine Rouge. So Cavalier is a brand that originated out of Geneva, Switzerland.
He's wearing the Cavalier
shirt. I know, I am wearing a shirt.
A sucker for branding. I know.
It's a free shirt. But so basically, it is essentially a brand that is made up of a husband, wife, and a friend. This cigar is one that they have started making out of their own factory, and it is one of their first cigars to use a Honduran wrapper leaf.
And when we get back, we'll finish talking about it.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Yeah, so my favorite of the show was really the Domaine Rouge from Cavalier. And if you don't know anything about Cavalier, Cavalier is a brand that basically started originally out of Geneva, Switzerland, but then really got their notoriety for growing tobacco in Honduras. And so in the past couple of years, they've actually started their own factory with it was a husband and wife, and then their friend Brian. And honestly, they're just truly good people. So their new line that's come out in the past couple of years, Inner Circle, really just features what the specialty of their factory and what they can do. And so this one, Sebastian came out with in honor of his father, because his dad and him always loved wine and collecting wine. And so to me, it's a really unique cigar for them, though, because it actually uses...
this is part of their Inner Circle line, right?
Yeah, this is part of the Inner Circle line. So the Inner Circle is actually one of the only ones you won't find the gold diamond on. I know everybody's like, what's the gold diamond? It's edible gold leaf.
Yeah, I smoke the white. The white series, which has the gold on it. Yeah. So I did not lick the diamond off.
Didn't you also smoke the first Inner Circle? Didn't I give you a blue one?
It's a blue.
No.
Okay, somebody did. Maybe it was you.
Was not me.
Maybe it was me. I smoked a few of them.
So basically, the cool part about this cigar is it's a lot of Honduran tobacco. So Hamastron Valley Honduras wrapper leaf over a Connecticut seed Honduran grown binder. and then a Hamastron Valley and also Jalapa Nicaraguan filler. So it's got a lot going on, a lot of spice, but it just, to me, they're all about family and heritage. And this cigar really shows it. Great packaging.
I'll say I'm smoking this cigar right now as we talk, and it is freaking awesome.
Hmm.
My preferred size is the Figurado, which they call it that. It's my opinion, it looks a little more torpedo-ish, but
yeah, I would just send it as a torpedo.
To me, this is a solid draw, great smoke.
Yeah,
it's the show stealer for me.
Hmm. I'm definitely gonna give it a 3. Nate's holding up 3 fingers, so
there we go.
So I got a chance to talk to Sebastian in length at this booth at PCA. That dude is such a solid character, man. He was talking to me about his father and about everything and what I got to try a couple other of their brands, not brands, but a couple of their other lines. And then he handed me a Lancero, which is their event only cigar. And it's freaking, you know, Lanceros are my favorite. So,
yeah. So, I mean, the cool part about them is like, so when they first came out on the scene, it seems very prestigious, especially with the whole Switzerland vibe and the horse. It's got a horse and the gold diamond. And then you meet Sebastian and his wife, and they're covered in tattoos. He's bald, big old beard. Really looks like a black metal, you know.
He used to listen Swiss to black metal. We talked about black metal too. So that was pretty cool. Yeah,
so it's like he's it's not what you expect, but he's really brilliant. They built a great brand. And Brian, who's a lifelong industry person who came on board with them in the factory, I mean, they're honestly, I think that this brand is one that you're going to see big things of in the future, and big things coming out of this factory. Yeah. They've already started making cigars for a lot of other brands as well.
That's another one of those brands where I wasn't really familiar. I've seen them obviously in the smokers humidor, but haven't picked them up yet. And then getting to actually meet Sebastian and listen to the passion literally just ooze out of him for the cigars that he makes definitely lit my fire, if you will, about checking out those smokes.
But yeah, so I am definitely looking forward to some good things out of Cavalier, and I am already a fan for sure,
including this Cavalier Lancero. How you feel about that, Mark? A little FOMO over there,
buddy? No, I got one in my hand right here, buddy, but I'm not smoking it. I can't smoke too well. I guess I could double fist.
Let's rate up the one that Nate just talked about.
We did. We rated it a 3. 3.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Where were you, Mike?
I was over here lighting the cigar. Oh, so yeah.
Well, you just keep sitting over there and light your cigar.
And I guess, you know, even kind of just talking about my experience at PCA. So I will say, the four of those guys had a little different experience than I did, because they were there media, more checking out the brands for the podcast. I was there with the retailer I work for, and this is like the 8th or 9th one I've been to. So we have a little different experiences, but
so it's he cool stayed that, in the slot machines, oh, pulling the levers.
Yeah, but I went to bed earlier than I've ever done in a year. But
that's right. That's right.
I didn't win anything. But so for me, it was a busy year, because to me, it's going to the booths, and it's not just, I don't get a chance to talk to the guys as much, because for us, it's all about buying and deals and here's money. And so it's a little different. So for us, it's more on the spot. And you guys even probably came home with a lot more samples than I did, because for me, we got the same amount of cigars.
But you had to smoke them real quick.
But like, there's ones where there's certain brands where I got to light it up in the moment to be like, yes or no. And so.
So one of the things I want to just let people know is that this is, not only is this the trade show of event, this is the mecca for buying cigars for stores. So they get their deals and bundles and all that stuff, that all the new releases that are coming out. So this is why this is a retailer event and it's not open to the public. Plus, you know, they take pride in having the legislation and having the lobbyists that are pushing for these cigar laws that we are fighting for.
Yeah, I had a lot of conversation with a lot of the retailers, you know, at the show and on a lot of topics. But, you know, part of that discussion that I had with many of them was, when you're here, you know, buying at the PCA show itself, are you buying the latest and greatest? Are you buying for the next quarter? Are you buying for, a whole year? And it was a very interesting, you know, response from several, you know, different retailers. I think probably the most common answer to that I heard was, a lot of them are there for the deals that are presented at PCA, and it is about sell, and, you know, moving, you know, a tremendous amount of volume. And I think that's true on both sides of the coin. I think the salespeople that are there are there specifically, you know, to move product. But
it was hard to get a conversation sometimes with some of the people, because it's like every 30 minutes, it's like, I'm selling this. I have a meeting. I have.
Well,
a,
and that's and that's the other thing is, like, for us, we set up a lot of our meetings. We had a whole schedule planned about a month in advance with our reps, because if you want, and there's certain brands, you know, like we had to be at Tatawahe's booth first thing because all their limiteds every year
will
sell out.
They're
the first day. So even if your appointment's the next day, it doesn't matter. So that's why that's always our first stop is boom, get all the limiteds.
We got to talk to Pete for a little bit, and it was really informative talking to him. So being on the media side of that is a whole different experience. Yeah. We didn't schedule any appointments because we didn't know what to expect. Yeah. So we just kind of meandered around, and if we saw people standing around, we talked to them.
I didn't meander, but...
Well, you definitely meandered. I've seen you walking.
I actually feel like I saw Mike like three times all weekend, but...
pretty much, yeah.
He was at the massage parlor.
Well, the,
him and Justin.
You know, so that discussion I thought was rather interesting, because I really didn't hear... you know, a lot of people, you know, trying to add things new, a lot of new products, you know, into their stores. It was all about margin, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really wonder if that really is the best venue, you know, to introduce a new product, because I just think that the agenda at hand for both those salespeople and the retailers, I just don't know that a new product really can,
I don't know
can
if
gain
you guys,
a lot of momentum.
I don't know if you guys actually got to see any of the sales sheets, and not giving too much insider
sales sheets?
Sales. Oh. So like, so the deals
the
and stuff.
Shells?
Yeah.
But a lot of that, so the way it works, and a lot of companies are smart with it, where you want the new product, you got to buy this package deal, or you got to buy this certain amount of core line. And so, but they also incorporate it in, and there probably is a good amount.
Like bundling with whiskey.
Well, I was just going to jump in on that side of it too, right?
30 cases of Jack Daniels.
No, exactly right. You know, the only thing is apparently in the cigar industry,
sure, I'll take my three.
It is an accepted practice.
Three cases of Wheatley vodka.
Right.
Normally, in the whiskey and the spirits world, it's technically kind of shunned.
Yeah.
Right. You're not supposed to do those type of things, but we know, you know, that you need that brand awareness
for the cigar industry. It's more looked at as, okay, you want the good stuff, you got to support us, you know? And that's more the thing is, if you don't, you know, because there's a lot of shops out there that will want, you know, it's like Liga Privada. People may not realize why not every shop has Liga, because you have to sell a certain amount of regular Drew Estate brands because they don't have enough just to hand it to everybody. So they'd be like, you have to be a good customer of ours. You have to support. And then boom.
And you have to sell the flavored ones.
Yep. You got to have a cabinet stocked.
Well, I didn't mean to drag us down this rabbit hole, but it was really good discussion.
Well, that's what we're here for.
What other cigars did you want? Or does that cover the ones you...
He's got one more.
I got one more. Metepe, I think it's called. I've heard it said multiple times, but I keep forgetting.
A
But it is the new foundation, and I'm...
That's how Trump would say it.
Oh,
it's a Medipa.
I'm a big fan of foundation and what Nick's doing.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Oh, my God.
My friends say I like it.
So, basically, he made this cigar in honor of a Nicaraguan poet. And the thing I like about Nick is he does a lot of things to the heritage of Nicaragua, or even he's connected to Ethiopia. And he's just got things where different heritages he tries to incorporate into cigar brands.
Yeah.
So, this cigar was a Sumatra, Ecuador. They actually have it in a Claro and Maduro. The samples were only Maduro at the show.
I think I got one, but I haven't smoked it yet. Yeah. I kind of interrupted one of their sales meetings.
Smoked that
one morning.
Cigar,
I was just like, I was neandering around, and they was smoked like, oh, are you here? And I'm
it's
like,
fantastic.
No, he's like, well, we're having a salesman. I was like, okay, sorry, dude. But he was super nice after that. He was
they're good
super
people.
Cool dude.
They're
yeah,
solid.
Yeah. I hope to have him on one of our chats episodes along with Sebastian as well.
Yeah. So It is the binder is a Connecticut broadleaf, and the filler is Esteli and Jalapa Nicaraguan. The thing I love about Nick and most of his Connecticut tobacco that's in his cigars, a lot of people don't know, but his office is actually on an active cigar
farm
in Connecticut.
Oh, nice.
So he actually is from Connecticut. He's known as the King of Broadleaf, and he is... It's just cool because he literally grows a lot of his own tobacco and even sells a lot to other people right there in Connecticut.
Well, that's awesome. Well, what was your rating?
I give it a 3.
I will say there was a lot of bangers happening at this PCA event. A lot of good cigars were coming out, and I there was very few cigars that I smoked there that I didn't like. I'd say probably enough to count on one hand. But so what we're going to talk about is, Nate, what stood out to you the most at PCA?
This year for me, it felt a lot more organized than it usually does. Sometimes it's been different every year, I will say, but like...
I'm laughing because when you said organized, I immediately thought of the Caldwell booth.
Oh, well, so
that's the best booth there.
And I'll
talk about it a little bit later.
Robert, it was great. Well, I don't care what
it was funny as
I've got a story about last year's Caldwell booth for you. Then, to give a little context, maybe to this year's, if you didn't hear, but we'll get to that later. But it's all the different booths are interesting, and you have the prestigious brands that look all elegant and they're in suits, and then you have my buddy Jeremy with Wildfire, who pulled a camper in there.
That was awesome.
And yeah, you've got, I mean,
he was like, hey, what's up?
Right. And you got Foundation blaring reggae. And that, I mean, it was very just eclectic. I will say this is still another year that a lot of the big brands haven't been there, and it's still a little peaceful, you know, without Drew Estate blaring hip hop all day. They're a very loud booth.
Oh, I can imagine.
So it was chill, but you know, it's still, every year though, I end up lost and I'm running around the whole place and I always forget where
there
I'm
was
at.
A few brands not represented there. I didn't see any of the Fear. I saw Fear Otega, but I didn't see any.
Well, Davidoff.
So, I didn't see Camacho. I didn't see
about 3 years Drew Estates ago, those companies pulled out of PCA, which honestly really was able to, for a lot of the smaller brands to shine, you know, you know, now people like Tatawahe and my father and stuff can sponsor PCA versus having the billion-dollar corporations.
Yeah, it was like Room 101s and a couple other places.
Yeah, that
General's not there. General's not there.
Yeah. Yep.
None of the General line was there. That was interesting. I imagine they, but it had a big booth and set up.
And they like, normally do when they used to have.
Yeah, they just had the Forged. That was the only brands and actually, that General had.
The interesting part, the only reason there was the Forged booth was because their acquisition of Alec Bradley, and Alec Bradley already had a registered booth, so
kind of
they were able to
in.
Come in there and kind of reintroduce themselves back to PCA.
Well, that's good. So up next, we're gonna go with good old boy Justin. Over in the FTL day, what's up?
Florida.
Florida Dale.
Hey.
How's the weather down there?
The weather, it's a middle of a thunderstorm.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Nice light show.
I just saw some lightning.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what you had.
So I had the Puro Ambar made by Tacabalera Al Arista in the Dominican Republic. And it was earthy. It was well constructed. Great flavor without.
What were the leaves in it?
So this one had Dominican Republic hybrid wrapper, binder, and filler. So it was an all DR event.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty good. I gave it 2 rings on this one. My favorite one of the 4 was the Cinco de Cinco, which in English is 55, and it's celebrating their 55th anniversary release. Yeah. This one came in a beautiful little box.
Oh man, nice, such a good presentation.
Love a coffin.
Beautifully constructed.
Oh, that was the coffin box.
Had a San Andreas wrapper.
Yeah.
Nicaraguan tobacco. And this is my favorite one of the 4.
That old coffin kind of reminds me of those old Camachos they used to have, like the Didkas.
So sadly, I found out that cigar won't be in a Kaufman. That was just for a PCA little presentation because I asked.
Yeah.
I
was I'm going to keep my Kaufman then.
Yeah.
I think they're selling them in boxes of 10.
I think that I think that as a packaging choice is gone. I think that it's just, it takes up too much space, you know, for the retailer. I think it's confusing that the consumer cannot actually see, you know, the product that they're buying, and, you know.
Other than it adds to the overhead on cost as well.
And one of the benefits of it back in the day used to be helping the cigar age, but you have, now they put them in cellophane. Like I'm smoking exactly what, we're talking about the Cinco de Cinco.
Oh, you're smoking that.
Yeah,
right
I'm
now.
Smoking it right now. And even when you pull it out of the coffin, it's in cellophane. So it's still, it's just
kind of like defeats.
So it's like defeats the purpose. Man. So it's literally tube. Just, you know. Yeah. But I'm really enjoying the cigar right now. I'm smoking it with ease. It's not. It's really great. I love it. So
what kind of rating you guys want to give this stick?
I'll give it a 3.
I gave it a 3.
All right.
Well, there you go, man.
In the box.
And then
what's in the box?
I had the air. Go ahead.
No, that's what we're always talking about. What's in the box?
Then I had the Arista Midnight. This stick was nice. It was complex. It went out a couple of times. The draw was a little too easy, but it had really good full flavor, dark Ecuadorian wrapper, Ecuadorian shade binder, and the tobacco was a blend of Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, and USA. It was a pleasant stick. I gave this one 2 rings.
So what? That was a Arista. How do you say there?
Arista Midnight.
Arista. Okay.
Or Artista. Yeah.
Artista.
Was it Artista?
It's Artista.
That's what
Artista.
I thought it was. Artista.
In Espanol.
Yeah.
That's Ram stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We got to hang out in their booth.
A killer
little
bit.
They were nice. And I actually got to interact with the family. You know, it's a family brand. And so I was talking with the patriarch of, you know, this brand was sitting there. But I want to say that was actually his granddaughter that was sitting there with me as well. And she's actually over the operations area. And it was really interesting, you know, hearing her talk about the show in general. And we had some of that same, you know, questions about, you know, what are some of the things you're looking for out of the show? And I think she's just so far out of the sales process, you know, for sure.
So we're going to take a little break here. And when we come back, we're going to touch a little bit more on Artista.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And we're back. So let's just talk a little bit more about Artista, man. That booth was awesome that they had.
They had a great product line.
I actually got to talk to Ram himself. We spent about 45 minutes talking about video games and BS the whole time, but didn't even talk about cigars, which is awesome to me.
Yeah.
Because your cigar can be mediocre, and if you're awesome, I'm going to support you.
Yeah. This is a brand I think we're going to come back and look at a takeover episode.
Kevin from Artista was actually texting me right now.
So I'm looking forward to that.
We smoked one in our $5 blind.
We did.
The Paperboy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I panned that hard.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's actually what Ram rolls and smokes for himself in the factory.
I'll pray for him.
Yeah. I love it. I don't care what Mike says. Mike opinion sucks anyway.
You don't enjoy your own brand, right?
That's pretty much. Yeah.
So Justin was actually there with me while we were hanging out with Ram. What did you think about him?
It was but he was really cool. But it was just awesome seeing three generations of one family and seemingly in harmony, all loving different aspects of the cigars. And yeah, it was just like a little vacation in the PCA. It was really cool.
He actually invited us down to the DR to come check out their facility and factory and stuff. So that's cool. And we are probably going to take him up on that.
Oh, absolutely.
No passport needed.
Yeah, no passport. The passport is Pompadour.
No passport.
Oh.
But yeah, the passport as well. You know. Nice.
Right. So I want to touch on that Cinco Cinco again. I haven't smoked mine yet. But if it's anything
you'll love it.
Like the Cuatro Cinco, which is a staple, I love that cigar. I've got a couple releases of the TAA exclusive of it, and it is just fantastic.
I'll look forward to trying that when I come up.
Anybody else?
No, I mean, I love this whole series that they've done. I mean, I'm a big Hoya fan. It's, if you don't know much, they're the basically the first operating factory in Nicaragua, like in 68, I think it was.
Right.
But so they've got a lot of history and heritage. The Antonio's great. Their Connecticut's great. But this whole line is awesome. And honestly, one of my favorite things I love about it, weirdly, is the San Andreas wrapper up against the like nice kind of emerald green band it's got. I don't know. I'm a sucker for how a cigar looks too.
Yeah, I'm banding,
and
man.
So to me, the color match is really good. I think I can't wait to see how the boxes are going to look, and I'm excited for it.
Not to mention the their world marketing rep.
Yeah.
Was an absolute jewel.
Oh, absolutely.
Not to be too on the nose with the branding. That's what
conversation was great.
But that kid has it down,
man.
And it did not feel rehearsed or practiced. It felt real. It felt like he actually believed the brand and lived the brand.
That dude loves that brand.
Yeah,
and you can tell that dude loves his brand because of how he talked to us about the brand.
Took us through the whole history of Hoya de Nicaragua, and you know, same like Nate, I was already a fan, and that just absolutely has cemented me as a smoker of Hoya de Nicaragua. Yeah.
Can we just talk about, did you guys see the little box that they have coming out? It's a limited edition box, and you can play like finger hockey. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was cool.
So once the box is empty, it's got a hole cut in the lid and the bottom, so when it's open, it's like the one of those you finger, you have to get it in the hole. You got to finger it in the hole. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a name for it.
Yeah. I don't know the name of that game.
Here we go.
Help! I'm being repressed.
That's right.
But yeah, it's they've done that once before with some game called Shut the Box, and they made it where it was like, all right, once the box empty. Yeah, they have some. It's some game you can play with dice and stuff, and so it was interesting. But I think it's fun, you know. So buy a box of those, and then you get a free game.
I think that's an awesome marketing strategy, and I think that if more cigar manufacturers could do something with their
to repurpose their packaging.
Absolutely. I mean, there's hundreds of people out there making jewelry boxes for their wives, or making knickknack boxes in
antique store for $10.
Yeah, like the cigar box, you can get it at the cigar shop for $1, but if you go to the antique store, it's $15. You know, it's cool. So, what was your? You had one more cigar, right?
Yes, my last cigar was the Falto Mentor. And it was an honor of his mentor.
Was that Privada Falto?
Falto's the brand.
Falto's the brand. Okay.
Yep. And it's Ecuadorian wrapper, Brazilian and Nicaraguan binder. I got like walnuts, espresso notes out of it. Really good flavor, decent construction, easy draw. It was pleasant.
Now that's the one with the Sumatra and the Cameroon binder, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So what was your rating on that?
I gave it a 2 just because the draw was a little too easy.
Yeah, do you think that was humidification or do you think that was just an actual in it?
I think there wasn't a ton of filler.
Okay.
When they put the filler evenly distributed throughout the stick, you get like the right draw.
Yeah.
And the right balance. But other than that, it was really good.
You think you might revisit that if you get it, find it on a shelf somewhere?
If it came my way, I would smoke another one, sure.
Awesome. Well, up next, we got...
what's his rating on that
one? Yeah, he rated it a 2.
I gave it a 2.
He gave it a 2. Sorry, Mike's not paying attention again.
I was preparing for my own discussion.
I got this, okay? We're good. So, want to ask you, what was your favorite thing about PCA? And don't say Mike's grapefruit drink, because we're going to talk about that in small group later.
I've only been to consumer-facing events, and I've never worked in a cigar store. So this is like first view of cigars as a business. And I ran into a lot of the cigar retailers from South Florida. So it was like a reunion. Half of them are lawyers that don't want a lawyer anymore. Go
right,
figure.
Right. Can I be your lawyer?
You know, it was a huge event. Like it took a whole day to like slowly walk it. And the first day was like chaos to me.
Oh, yeah.
But by the end, you knew where you were going. You knew who you were talking to. And I think if I went year after year, I'd make more friends, deeper connections, and have even more fun. And it was fun seeing that timeout guy. It's like a brand new person.
Yeah,
who's a hobbyist.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that.
He did his own brand. So
yeah, we're going to talk about
Neil. Yeah, we'll talk about him. Neil, good guy.
Well, we're going back in March, so the next one's in March, and that's the last one in Vegas until the following year, which will be in New Orleans, which is meh.
March will be fun, because this time was like 112 degrees.
Not in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, July in New Orleans is not definitely not July.
I will say I've also done PCA in New Orleans, and finding places to smoke is not like Vegas.
Uh-oh.
So...
Well, there's casinos there, but they do not allow smoking.
They do not allow smoking. Okay,
really?
Casinos, yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, up next, we're going to go through good old boy Mike's experience, which I'll try to keep him short. I know he's a little long-winded, but work with me, folks, because I know he's been chomping at the bit to tell us about his cigars. And don't forget your girth.
Girth.
Oh, where is she?
I don't know. Where is she? Where's the girl?
Oh, no.
Did you delete the girl?
No, she's right there. It'll probably fire off in the middle of me talking. So the very first day, we took a moment to just hang out in a herf with a bunch of other people during a happy hour. And somebody gave me a cigar. I think was it you that
probably
gave me the, yeah. So this cigar is from Ferreira Cigars.
That thing.
Yep. It is called the... Diosa Latino, and this is a really interesting cigar. If you got to see our quick video that I really screwed up a lot of things in the middle of when I was talking about the cigar, I really didn't know what I was looking at, so I'm sorry about that. But just an amazing craftsmanship of what this thing looked like. It is absolutely the most gorgeous cigar I have ever seen. It has this very decorative cap on it, and all of this entire cigar is about the symbolism of Latino women. So Diosa is the goddess in Latino. So it's the goddess of women is basically what this celebrates. The entire cigar is actually made by women. And I'll go through all the symbolism of this cap. Is it just comes over, you know, the end, and then it has some bands that come off the back and cross each other and then go around the cigar. If you've ever seen the Amazon Basin, very similar, you know, kind of decoration of just using tobacco as a band itself. And so the particulars on this cigar, it is, let's see, it is, the binder is from Mexico. The filler is from, get this, there are actually... five different elements of this filler. So
it was a lot to take in.
I'm going
to
read all these real quick. So it is dry Honduras, N-O, I believe is what this is. Viso Dominicano, Viso Costa Rican, light Nicaraguan, and base Colombia are what's in the filler. So there are seven different tobaccos on this cigar itself. And so I was really like, wow, this is going to be, you know, either really, really interesting. And I was just so enamored with the craftsmanship looking at this thing. So the symbolism around this cigar is all about, again, celebrating Latino women. the cap actually comes down and actually represents the hair of a Latino woman. Mm-hmm. And the bands coming across are actually a symbolism of Mother Mary actually holding the Latino women in their arms.
Yeah.
And so really fascinating symbolism in the way that they use a lot of these branding elements. I really love the story. And that is going to be the theme of all the cigars I'm going to talk about here at PCA. So that is really, you know, I'm a sucker for a good story many times, but my radar just was so enamored with how well this thing looked until I lit it. And unfortunately, it did not pay off very well. So the one thing that happened, so I actually did not smoke that cigar while we were at PCA. I actually waited until we came back. And
it was like a holy grail for you.
So the one thing that they told me that I needed to make sure to do was to punch the cap and not to guillotine cut it. So I followed the instructions to the letter and I punched the cap.
He had to go buy a punch because that's not his thing.
No, I have a punch. And so I'm sitting there and I'm lighting it. I'm using the Barker method, you know, and,
well, what's the Barker method?
Well, it's all about blowing, baby.
Ooh, so, blow for me, baby.
Blow before you light it. And so I'm sitting there and I'm just, the draw is so hard. I just cannot get anything going on, you know, this cigar. And I found it was just, I was frustrated with it. And even what I was tasting, I'm like, wow, this is just not, the first third of this is just not happening for me at all.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And so finally, after, you know, probably at the first ash, I decided to guillotine cut the cap. I was just so frustrated with it all.
So you cut it? Oh.
I did. And so the draw came around and I'm like, cool, now I can really enjoy this, except for the fact that I didn't. And I was just so disappointed. If you had looked at just, you know, my face was just melting. I'm going, I love to talk about,
I would have paid to see this.
I would have loved to talk about this cigar and how amazing it is all day long. But it was just a kitchen sink. It was not balanced. It didn't have a good taste profile. There were just so many things about it that I was just like, wow, dang, this is so disappointing.
That breaks my heart.
So I found that it had a few burn line issues as I was going along. So it was just incredibly anticlimactic.
So what was your rating?
Well, I'm going to give it a 2 because I love the artistry about it. And I think that it's a great gift cigar, and I think for somebody that maybe wouldn't know the difference between, you know, something amazing and something not so amazing, and the storyline behind this, I think this would be great. There are two different wrappers on this, so I actually smoked the darker wrapper, and I'm not quite sure what it was, but I want to go back and have the Connecticut one, and maybe that'll change my mind, so we'll see.
Yeah, so now that cigar manufacturer is represented by the BCA,
the Boutique Cigar Association. They have this very interesting section of the PCA.
They had a huge booth and it was a lot to take in. I think there was a bunch of brands like Caro Cigars, and there was a whole bunch of other brands that really stuck out that had a lot of cool things going. I actually got to meet one of the rollers or one of the owners of one of the brands, and he was super cool.
Yeah, I loved everybody that was there. I loved the guy that was the master blender for this as well. And, you know, I know that there is magic there. They have some other things in their product line, and I look forward to trying those.
I also got one of their espresso.
Yep, I didn't get to that one yet.
So that one's cool. So they said that, please, I'm sorry if I butcher this, but from my understanding is that when they age their tobacco on that particular cigar, that they lay the leaf out, and then they lay a layer of coffee beans on top of that cigar leaf, and then they lay another leaf and more coffee beans and another. So it's not an actually...
Yeah, they age it that way.
Yeah, so it's not an... Yeah, you were there with me, weren't you? So it's not an actually...
I was.
It's not an infused cigar, but it like takes on the characteristics. So I'm pretty excited about smoking that one. Hmm.
Hey, I hope you're really enjoying our discussion here about the PCA show, and we are going to have some extended discussion about the PCA show, the cigars we had there. So if you're listening to this particular episode and through the radio, thanks for listening to us.
Thank you so much for listening
to us. And check out the rest of our discussion and our online episode. And, you know, we have a lot more to say, a lot more great cigars to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We just still got two more people to go
just
through.
Just didn't fit in our radio format. So just check us out online, and you'll hear about a lot more great cigars. And
absolutely.
I have a lot more stories to talk about, you know, when we pick up the next segment as well.
Yeah, these stories ain't stopping. This train ain't stopping. So thanks again for listening to us on the radio.
Thank you.
So with that, we're going to wrap up this PCA episode. I would like to thank our host, good old boy Justin.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Good old boy Benjamin, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Good old boy Nate, thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Good old boy Mike, thanks for helping me with this and being here.
Yeah, thanks. And hope you'll check out another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I will ask you to keep on sipping.
Right?
Keep on smoking.
I just got a question. Am I going to be able to smoke now without somebody taking a picture of me?
Maybe not.
We'll see.
What a great show. PCA was a great event. We're lucky.
Awesome, man. Well, keep on smoking, folks. And thanks for joining us. And check out our other episodes. We do multiple things, from alcohol, tobacco, and coffee. And we just have a good time doing it.
Bye, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.